Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Arjuna, how he went to heavens, resisted the irresistible temptation of Urvashi and was cursed but was actually blessed through that test. And now after staying 5 years in heaven and learning various weapons from Indra, Arjuna decided to return to the earth with Indra's consent. And as Arjuna approached Indra, asking him, what Guru Dakshina can I offer you for the lessons that you have taught me? Indra blessed him that, you have learned weapons way, and you have become such an expert archer that nobody in the three worlds can defeat you. And there are terrible demons named Nivat Kavachas, who have been the terror of the gods for a long time. Slay them, and thus you will repay your debt to me. So the Mahabharata actually described this pastime, not directly, but through the voice of Arjuna. That means the Pandavas are waiting in near Kubera's gardens in that area for Arjuna to return. They have been informed by the sages that Arjuna is going to return, and they wait over there. So soon after Bhima kills Maniman, we discuss that story when we're talking about Bhima's life. And seventh day after that, when the Pandavas had got permission from Kuvera to stay over there, then Dhaumya and Draupadi were brought from the lower level, from the lower part of the Himalayas to that high up area. And as they were living there, one day they saw a giant shining object coming down, looking effulgent and gigantic. And as they saw, they discerned that it was the chariot. And they made out as a chariot of Indra. Maithili, the Indra's charioteer, was there. And sitting on that chariot was their own beloved brother, Arjuna. And they waited for the chariot to descend. And Arjuna got off the chariot, offered his respects to Dhaumya, then to Yudhishthira, then to Bhima. And then the twins offered respects to him. And then he spoke sweet words to Draupadi. And then Yudhishthira turned to Maithili and offered him respects as if he were Indra himself. And Maithili, although he was a charioteer, he was also a resident of the heavens, respectable person. Maithili treated Yudhishthira very kindly, with kind words, speaking to all the Pandavas like a father to son. And then, after depositing Arjuna with the Pandavas, he departed. And the Pandavas, after the initial greetings, they sat around Arjuna and asked him to describe his adventures right from the beginning, when he met Indra in the form of Brahman, then satisfied Lord Shiva, and then went in the heavens and learned various weapons. And then the last part of the adventure Arjuna tells over here. So taking the blessings of Arjuna, being benedicted with the Devadatta conch, and using Indra's chariot, which had 10,000 steeds to it, and with Maithili, the expert charioteer of Indra with him, Arjuna started going towards the kingdom of the Nivat Kavachas. And when he came to there, charging, he blew the conch shell. Initially, when they saw the chariot streaking across the sky, charging towards them, they immediately pulled the ramparts and blew up, closed the gates, and prepared for war by readying all the defenses. They thought that Indra must have come to battle with us. And then when Arjuna blew his conch shell, indicating that he was ready for battle and he was calling them to fight, then they charged out. And hundreds and hundreds and thousands of these formidable warriors charged out and started shooting arrows one after another after another. And so fierce and so intense was their attack that Arjuna started feeling overwhelmed. But maintaining his composure, Arjuna started shooting streams of arrows one after another. He charged the arrows with Brahma mantras, and Nivat Kavachas fell back, wounded or dead. They regrouped quickly and attacked again. Seeing them attacking so relentlessly, then Arjuna summoned Indra's weapon, and he shot again with that weapon. And then Nivat Kavachas fell back, unconscious, some of them dead. And seeing Arjuna to be a formidable enemy, they regrouped. And then they decided to use mystic weapons. So mystic weapons are the weapons that create illusions. And in a fair fight, a person sees the other person, and both of them, it's a match of strength. But suppose a wrestler wants to, say, unfairly defeat another wrestler. So what the wrestler may do is just take some mud and throw it into the eyes of the other person. As the eye is, a person is blinded, then suddenly pound him up, and the other person cannot see anything, and beat him, and overpower him. So throwing mud is one way of blinding. It's a very crude and primitive way. But creating mystical illusions is another way of blinding or misdirecting an opponent. So as Arjuna was fighting, suddenly the asuras, they were Danavas, and there are different kinds of asuras, there are Danavas, Daityas. So the Danavas, Nivat Kavachas, they regrouped, and then they started using mystical weapons. And as Arjuna suddenly saw that at one moment, the whole earth around him was, whole area around him just flooded with giant flood of water. And it seemed as if his chariot, the waves were coming so rapidly, it appeared as if he would just be blown away, if not drowned right in the waves there itself. So as the waves started coming, Arjuna immediately took the Vishoshan means to dry up. And he shot that astra, and all the weapons, all the water disappeared. Then they sent a massive weapon which seemed to create rocks, and it seemed that mountains were falling down on top of them. Rocks from all directions. Arjuna immediately used different weapons and countered that illusion. Suddenly he felt a stormy winds coming on, charging towards him, about to not just blow him away, but blow all his weapons away also, and blow his horses and the entire chariot away. Arjuna created a weapon which he created a giant mountain, and the wind hit against the mountain, and eventually the wind died away. Then they started sending fires towards him. Arjuna used a weapon which created showers of water and countered all their illusions. And then the asuras started realizing that Arjuna was extremely dangerous enemy. So they again regrouped, and suddenly they created darkness all around. And Arjuna could see nothing anywhere. And the illusion was such that it appeared as if at one moment, he appeared as if there was nothing all around. And suddenly through that he started hearing terrifying screams and roars and shouts, and he felt himself being assaulted by enemies. And Maitali said that, "What is this happening? I feel overwhelmed." And Arjuna tried to calm himself down. He said, "Wait, O charioteer, and see, do not be disturbed. See the prowess of my Gandiva." Arjuna took formidable weapons, and he chose the appropriate weapons, and he just shot the arrows, and suddenly all the darkness disappeared. And the demons were there all around him. Attacking through darkness, they pierced by the weapons, and they started falling and dying. And then Arjuna, realizing that he had the upper hand, he immediately started shooting arrows. The Danavas recognized, saying that Arjuna was about to win. They immediately regrouped and almost disappeared into the city. Seeing that the demons had withdrawn, Arjuna relaxed momentarily. And the demons immediately took advantage of this and charged back. But now they were invisible forms. In the Ramayana at one time, Indrajit, Ravanasana also attacked the Ram and Lakshman in invisible forms. Now, we remember Arjuna in his training at the start of the war had actually learnt how to fight against invisible opponents, because he had shot arrows in the darkness and he knew how to shoot invisible targets. But still they were coming so many and so fiercely. Arjuna felt himself being attacked from all directions, and he could sense that the Nivat Kavachas were attacking the horses from below, they were catching the horses' chariots and just dragging him down, and there was just nothing that he could do. And Maitali was bewildered. Arjuna was overwhelmed. But Arjuna started getting confused. What should I do? So Maitali this time told him, "Oh Arjuna, calm down and use the foremost weapon that Indra has given you, and by that all these illusions will be dispelled." And then Arjuna really called into his mind the mantras, and then discharge the weapon. And the demons just fell back, overwhelmed. That one missile expanded to 100 and 1,000 and 10,000 of thousands and pierced the vitals of the demons. And these demons fell back screeching. And so stupendous was the display. Now this battle had been going on and on and on. I've just described in summary, it just went on and on. And Arjuna finally overpowered the demons. And the demons fell back, dead, mentally, and turned towards Arjuna, looking admiringly. And all the illusions were dispelled, the sky had become clear, and the city had fallen eerily silent. It was open right in front of them. And Maitali told Arjuna that, you know, such valor I have never seen, even among the gods. The way you have fought today, Arjuna, is unparalleled. In this fight, we see that the charioteer and the warrior work in close coordination. And when the charioteer starts getting discouraged or bewildered, the warrior encourages him. And when the warrior starts getting discouraged or confused, the charioteer guides him. So it's a very vital relationship between the charioteer and the warrior. And a good charioteer is indispensable for a warrior to be successful. And we'll see how this charioteer-warrior dynamics come up later when Arjuna chooses Krishna as his charioteer and Krishna consents. And on the 17th day of the war, then Karna also requests that I get a good enough charioteer. And he asks for Shalya as his charioteer. So here with Maitali, who was Indra's charioteer and who also acted as Ram's charioteer, the Indra's chariot also came in the Ramayana towards the end, in the final battle between Ram and Ravana. Initially, Ram would fight from the ground. Sometimes Hanuman would carry him and fight, and sometimes he would. And last battle, he fought on Maitali's chariot. So the same Indra's chariot with Maitali as the charioteer. Same happened for Arjuna. And Arjuna defeated these terrible demons. Actually, these demons had been existing for a long, long, long time, Nivad Kavachas, and they were undefeatable. And yet now they had been defeated. As Indra told, then seeing that all of them had been destroyed, Arjuna decided, let us enter into the city. And when he entered into the city, he saw that the demons, women, they were wailing loudly. And they draw back in fear, seeing Arjuna's mountainous chariot charging through. Arjuna, according to Kshatriya principles, did not do anything to the women at all. And he let them grieve, and he went and looked at the majestic city and ensured that the conquest was complete, that there were no hidden enemies lurking who would regroup and attack again. Seeing that his mission in service of Indra had been completed, that the gods had been defeated, the gods' mortal enemy had been defeated thoroughly, irreversibly, Arjuna returned. As he turned back and he was departing back towards the heavens, suddenly he saw on the pathway a huge city. It was floating in the sky, looking like a sun in itself. And there were majestic palaces. And it looked like another sun in the sky. And iridescent jewels and such magnificent opulence was there all around. Arjuna turned and asked Maitali, "What is this?" He said, "I have never seen this before any time." So, actually, he told him that this city is called Hiranyapur, and these are actually the Kalakanyas. Kalakanyas are another race of formidable Daityas. So the earlier demons, the Nivad Kavachas, were the Danavas, and these are Daityas. They are different classes of demons, and they are all inimical to the gods. So now, here we see Arjuna doing some extra service for Indra. Just like Hanumanji, when he was sent to Lanka, his primary mission was to find out the location of Sita and convey a message and get a message. So Hanuman did that service, but along with that, he decided to do something extra. And he decided to do a reconnaissance of Lanka, give a warning to Ravana, and give Ravana a taste of the power of Ram's forces by burning almost half of his city. This is the extra service which Hanuman did. Similarly, Arjuna also decided to do some extra service. And he said that Any enemy of the gods is also my enemy. Oh, Maithili, please take my chariot into the city of the Kalakanyas. And as they went toward the city, and Arjuna blew his conch, and the Kalakanyas saw this person coming, and they started charging out. And again, there was a fierce fight. Arjuna fought and fought and fought, and again, Arjuna overpowered the demons in archery. And again, this time, again, the demons started using mystical weapons. And Arjuna again countered all the mystical weapons. And now these demons, not only were they fighting in the chariots, but they were in their city. And the city itself was movable. And as they started using mystical illusions, the city itself would disappear. Sometimes it would appear high up in the sky, sometimes it would appear on the ground right next to Arjuna, sometimes it would just disappear completely. Sometimes multiple cities would be visible. But Arjuna was completely fearless, and he kept fighting. And eventually, by the sheer power of his arrows, the city started breaking apart. And it eventually ripped apart, fell away, exploded away. And seeing this, Kalakanyas were shocked, enraged. And the survivors, the demons were thousands and thousands, the survivors were thousands, and they just leapt out of the city, and they started, knowing that now it was an emergency, it was a desperate situation, they started charging towards Arjuna. And as they kept charging, and suddenly Arjuna found himself covered completely by arrows and warriors charging him from behind those arrows. Arjuna shot arrows, but just completely overwhelmed. The situation looked desperate. Maithili again said, I have fought so many battles, but such a situation I have never seen. It seems that with so many mystical weapons being exhibited, this battle will never end. Probably it will end only in the destruction of the whole universe. So, as Arjuna spoke like this, as Maithili spoke like this, Arjuna calmed himself down, and then he remembered the weapon of Lord Shiva. And actually, these Kalakanyas were extremely formidable demons, and they had done some austerity to Brahma, and by his power they had become so powerful that the devatas could not kill him. And Indra, being distressed, had gone to Shiva asking for his help in killing the demons. And Shiva had said that when you will take a future incarnation, at that time you will be able to destroy the demons. So as Arjuna told this story to the Pandavas listened in amazement. They realized that what Indra was not able to do, now Arjuna had done. That means Arjuna had actually become more powerful than Indra. Of course, Arjuna had demonstrated this once when he had held back all the gods, including Indra, at Khandava. But here it was a very, very serious battle to death. And it was in this battle that Arjuna had done a serious mission for the gods against the demons, which the head of the gods, Indra himself, had not been able to do. So, as Arjuna kept describing, well, he realized that he could now have to use the weapon of Shiva. And he chanted the mantras of Shiva. Now Shiva had told him that his weapon was not to be used against humans, but it could be used against celestials. And celestials doesn't just mean heavenly beings. There are beings, the Danavas are also celestial in the sense that they are, because Danavas are also more powerful than humans. So he chanted the mantra, and right in front of him, he saw this formidable form appearing. The Lord Shiva himself is known as Trinayana. He has three eyes. Nayana is eyes. But this form had three heads. With each head having three eyes means it had nine eyes. And then accordingly it had six hands. And it looked so fearsome, with fiery effulgence emanating from his body. Arjuna, seeing this itself, was fear struck. But then remembering that he had summoned this weapon, Arjuna offered his respects. And then he chanted the mantras and discharged the arrow. As he discharged the arrow, then from that one missile, this form of Shiva, this Pashupatastra, this personified form of the Pashupatastra, started charging out towards the demons. And as charged out towards the demons, from that one missile, thousands of missiles started coming out. And from that missile, those missiles, some of them were in the form of arrows, but others were in the form of roaring tigers, others were in terms form of giant elephants, others were in terms of huge cats, others were in the form of wolves, and all different kinds of beasts, and they fell upon the demons with a relentless fury. And then as Shiva appeared over there through his Pashupatastra, along with Shiva, his all associates, Guhyakas, Bhutas, Pishachas, Yakshas, and other ghostly beings, they all appeared, and they also pounced upon the Kalakanyas and started pounding them. And as the enemy started getting pulverized, Arjuna followed up the attack of the Pashupatastra with further weapons. As Arjuna thought, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of weapons, and the enemy was completely overpowered, totally devastated. And this was such a stupendous feat of heroism. Two formidable enemies of the Devatas, not just one enemy, but races of enemies. Nivat Kavachas were a whole race of demons, and so were the Kalakanyas. And Arjuna defeated and destroyed all of them and delivered the whole universe from their terror. And he returned back to the heavens. Aitali took him back, and Indra was waiting. Indra embraced him. And he said, "Today, O Arjuna, the heroism that you have displayed is unparalleled in the world. And for this service to the gods, you'll be blessed that you will always stay composed, even in the midst of the severest of battles. And you will not be defeated by anyone, Devas, Danavas, Daityas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Manavas. You will stay undefeated in battle." And he said that you will eventually regain the earth and hand it over to Yudhishthir. Go now and use the knowledge that you acquired for the sake of Dharma. Blessing Arjuna thus and giving him Devadatta again. And then he saw Arjuna off, and Arjuna told his whole story. Pandavas were delighted, and he said, Yudhishthira told him, "Oh Arjuna, you are extremely fortunate that you saw the greatest of the gods. Not only did you have darshan, not only did he touch and bless you, but you learned so much from him. And you served him also in such a glorious way. Indeed, I feel that the earth is already won. And now the time for the display of your extraordinary weapons will soon come. But before the war happens, I would like to see a display of your weapons. So Arjuna nodded, feeling bound by the instruction of his elder brother. And he started taking out the weapons. Now these are like, you know, sometimes someone makes a, at a trivial level, we could say somebody makes a new program, which is supposed to be very powerful. So one researcher tells us, "I made this program." Another researcher may say, "I want to see this program. Please show it to me. Demonstrate it." So somebody makes a new weapon. Somebody uses technology, and they make a new weapon. Another scientist may say, "Please, I want to demonstrate. How does it work?" So similarly, Yudhishthir, he was Dharmaraj. He was concerned how he would be able to bring a Raj of Dharma in the earth, on the earth, and therefore he wanted to make sure that the powers that Arjuna had got were enough for that task. And so he inquired from Arjuna, "Please show me, demonstrate to me this weapon." And Arjuna sat down, chanted the mantras, used purificatory water, and then as the mantras were being invoked, suddenly the whole universe started showing inauspicious signs. The earth seemed to tremble. The mountains seemed to about to split apart. The wind stopped blowing. The sun was covered. And all creatures seemed to be terrified. The rishis suddenly found themselves unable to chant the mantras. The sacrificial fire started going out. And as seeing all these inauspicious signs, the Pandavas themselves became concerned. Arjuna slowed down, immediately following through the action of calling the mantras. And suddenly in the sky, they saw Brahmaji, the first human being, the first living being on the universe. He appeared over there, and with his forehead, he was smiling, looking down gracefully, mercifully at Arjuna, and then at Yudhishthira. Next to him was Narada Rishi, and Narada Rishi looked at Yudhishthira and Arjuna and said, "Oh Pandavas, do not use these weapons in vain. These are weapons which can destroy the whole world. They are not meant for demonstration. Soon enough a war will take place, and that time your desire to see the force of these weapons will be fulfilled. So hearing this, Yudhishthir and Arjuna check their desire for seeing the display of the weapons, and then the devatas went back to their abodes. So here we see that Arjuna had acquired weapons of such power that, what to speak of destroying their enemies, just the discharge of the weapons was itself enough to cause anxiety to the universal controllers. So equipped with these weapons, Arjuna felt confident that they would be victorious in regaining their kingdom if a war was required for gaining that kingdom. And then the Pandavas continued to live in the Vanavas, and while they were in the Vanavas at that time, they were in Kuvera's abode, and then we discussed how Bhima and Arjuna came to Yudhishthira and said that, let us leave, we should not live in such comfort. We should go back to the earth because we'll have to prepare for our eventual mission. Comfort will make us complacent. And Yudhishthira agreed, and then they descended down. And as they descended down and came to the same place, the Daitavan lake and then the Kamyaka forest, then Krishna came to meet them. Krishna and Balaram had come. They had come there earlier, soon after the Pandavas had been exiled, to sympathize with them and to solace them and to encourage them for the life of austerity that awaited them. Now, as their exile was about to end, came to meet once again. We discussed also at this time the story of the Gandharvas attacking, the Gandharvas arresting Duryodhana, and then Arjuna fighting and defeating the Gandharvas that happened, and then how Arjuna and Bhima, they released the arrested Duryodhana. So there also Arjuna exhibited his skills in overpowering the Gandharvas, who had overpowered the Kauravas, including Karna. So here also we see that the rivalry between Karna and Arjuna, what happened in that? So Karna, we'll discuss the story in detail later when we talk about Duryodhana. But Karna essentially was, he fled while fighting the Gandharvas and finding them too powerful, he fled. And Duryodhana felt angry, Dushasana had also fled, Shakuni had also fled. Duryodhana felt angry to see his army routed, and so he kept fighting. But then he was arrested. And some of the soldiers went and asked Yudhishthira for help. Yudhishthira instructed Bhima and Arjuna to go. And Arjuna defeated the Gandharvas. And in that way, he demonstrated his formidable power. And then after that, the Pandavas went and stayed in Virat. And Virat was an extremely severe test for Arjuna. He who was the epitome of Kshatriya virility, you know, he was such a glorious example of manliness. That person, Arjuna, had to undergo the ignominy of becoming a eunuch. But Arjuna, knowing that it was all for the cause of good, it was a part of the plan of the Lord, Arjuna accepted it. And not only did he accept it, he did it competently. Arjuna became a dance teacher for Uttara, the sister of Uttar Kumar, Bhumanjay, and other sons of Virat. And during that time, because the Gandharva Chitra, the associate of Indra, Chitrasen, had taught him dancing and singing, Arjuna was expert. So Arjuna actually lived in the women's chambers. So when he first went into the kingdom, at that time, seeing him, Virat was amazed. He says, "Who are you? You deserve to be the ruler of the world." But the way his body was, the giant proportions of the body made him seem like a king. But the kind of dress he had adorned, that made him seem like a eunuch. He says, "Surely you cannot belong to the third gender." He said, "Don't ask me about this anymore, because it is a cause of great distress for me. But I seek employment from you, and I wish that I am learned in dancing and singing, and I can train your daughter in this." So the king said, "First, if what you are saying is true, certainly you will be employed accordingly. But I don't feel you deserve to teach dancing and singing. You deserve to be a ruler of the earth." And then still, if that is your desire, then he asked the Kshatriya, the women of the palace, to have him tested. And when they found that he was actually a neuter, then he was actually a eunuch, then they arranged for him to go in the private chambers of the women. Normally, no man was allowed to go over there. Arjuna not only went over there, he stayed over there. And when he stayed over there, was Arjuna constantly burning with resentment? What a humiliation for me to have to stay with women. No, he saw that this is what I have to do, he accepted it. And he became like a father figure for Uttara. He not only trained her expertly in dancing and singing, but he also became a mentor, guiding her. She confided in him and he encouraged her, guided her in various issues. And in this way he performed that service, which was very, very challenging, humiliating, mortifying. Arjuna did it gracefully. And thereafter, Arjuna returned back. Thereafter, Arjuna lived on. And then came the moment of Arjuna's greatest glory. Of course, there are many, many great glories for Arjuna, but one of the greatest glories was his fight in Vairat. So we know the Kauravas had planned that they will attack from two sides. Susharman will attack from one side and the whole Virat army will go there. And that the whole Kuru army will attack from the other side. That's what exactly was done. And we discussed how when Susharman had attacked, Virat went with the four Pandavas. Now Arjuna did not go because he was acting like he was in the women's chamber. And he was acting like a eunuch, so he did not think, Virat did not think that he will come with me. So he was there, and in the absence of Virat, Bhuminjay, his eldest son, was sitting on the throne, officiating as the king during the interim. And here the Kaurava army with all their Maharathas came there, and they grabbed the cows of Virat on the border. Immediately messenger came in and asked Bhuminjay, oh, you are a great hero, and today you have the capacity, we depend on you, and you please show the heroism like Arjuna had shown at Khandava, and defeat the Kaurava army and protect the honor of your kingdom and the wealth of the kingdom. So Bhuminjay himself, hearing himself being compared to Arjuna and being glorified in the presence of many men and women in the assembly, he spoke, yes, I have such prowess that when I attack the Kauravas, they'll be overwhelmed. They will think, seeing my skill and progress, that actually it is, they will wonder if it is Arjuna only who has come in there. It's hurtling through their forces and destroying them. I would immediately go, but I need a charioteer. My charioteer was killed in a recent conflict and has not been replaced till now. So I will need a competent charioteer for this great fight. So at that time, but as soon as I get a chariot, I'll go and defeat these Kauravas. As Bhuminjay spoke like this, the words of his proud words circulated through the palace, and they reached Brihanallah. And Brihanallah was in the women's chamber there. Shairandri, Draupadi was also there, and he told Shairandri that, you know, go and tell Bhuminjay that Brihanallah has served as a charioteer for Arjuna. And Shailendra understood. She had already felt a little bit annoyed, angered at Bhuminjay comparing himself with Arjuna. She knew that he was a hero in his own right, but he was by no match anywhere close to Arjuna. So she went there and she told him, oh, you need a charioteer? Brihanallah was a charioteer of Arjuna. In fact, in the great Khandava when the fight was there, it was he who acted as a charioteer for Arjuna. So call him, and if with him as the charioteer, you will surely attain victory. Now Draupadi knew how victory would be attained, but she was just entertaining him over here. And then he said, oh, Brihanallah. He says, how can I ask him? So now Shairandri said, don't worry, you tell your sister Uttara, she will go and ask. And Uttara went and told, and then Arjuna agreed. And now Arjuna, just to make fun of things more and more, he said, he came to the palace and he said, you know, he was having long hair and he just started twirling his hair around. He said, "Oh, King, why, oh, Prince, why have you called me? If you wanted to learn about dancing or singing, you could have called me. What do I know about fighting, and what do I know about driving a chariot in a fight? You called the wrong person." So he looked at him and he saw how formidably built he was. And he said that if Shailendra has told that you are a great charioteer, then I will accept it. And Arjuna actually was building a drama where he would first act as if he was utterly incompetent, and then he would completely do a role reversal and show how super competent he was. So not just super competent, supremely competent he was in fighting. So he came and gave this, asked for armor to be brought for Brihanallah. And just to make increase the fun, Arjun simply looked at the armor, not knowing, oh, how is this to be worn? He moved up and down. And finally, he dropped it completely. And then the charioteer started laughing, the people started laughing in the court. But Brihanallah, Bhuminjay came along, and then he himself put the armor on Brihanallah. And then he said, "Let us go now." And as they were going, some of the palace ladies said that, "Oh, Brihanallah, when the prince defeats the kings of the Kurus, you bring some of their, some of the parts of their headdresses and other parts of the clothes so that we can decorate our dolls as signs of the victory." So Brihanallah looked at them, smiled, he said, "Yeah, surely I'll get them." And he departed. And the next incidents demonstrate Arjuna's glory in an extraordinary way, and we'll discuss that in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.